As we were worshiping, I just kept the Holy Spirit just, we sang that line in that song, lost in His love, lost in His love. I just began to hear this phrase in my spirit, in the folds of His love. And I just envisioned me just going, not a cave, into the folds of His love, getting deeper than I'd ever been. And I believe that's a cry to God for us, to come deeper into His love than we've ever been before. I'm not talking about a mushy emotion here. The Bible says God is love, and God wants us to come deeper into Him. Deep calls to deep. And that deep love of God is calling to us to come deeper in there. And it's just like just going through curtain after curtain or fold after fold into the depths in search of a treasure. But the whole time, the treasure is being implanted in us as we move into the folds. I'm lost in His love. I mean, I just felt like I was lost in there. Didn't know where I was going, but it didn't matter because I'm lost in His love. I believe God's calling us to that. A new place. That's where the dreams will be renewed. That's where the healing will take place. Is in His love. Amen. I am glad for the resurrection. I'm glad for it. I'm so thankful for the resurrection. The Apostle Paul said, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. He went on to say, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Man, if Jesus is still dead, we have no hope. We are miserable. I mean, I think about life. If Jesus were still dead, we would be in misery this morning. We would be just like every other religion in the world that has no answer for sin. We'd still be trying to deal with them instead of having received what Jesus did for us. I remember one time preaching to a tribe when I was in India. I can't remember what the name of the tribe was. They were people that all the women wore dresses with mirrors all in their dresses, little mirrors and little like a patchwork, but there were mirrors in their dresses. And the reason they had the mirrors in the dresses is because that way if a demon would come up to them, it would see itself and get scared and run away. They didn't realize there's something much more powerful than a mirror over a demon. But anyway, so I was preaching to them, and you know, when you're preaching to people who've never heard about Jesus, and you're preaching to people who are very uneducated, you have to bring the gospel message down to the simplest terms. And that is that God became a man. And that He died for our sins. He was innocent, but He was killed. He died for our sins and was resurrected on the third day. And I was talking about Jesus dying for our sins. And many of you have heard me say this before, but one of the ladies in the tribe, I was preaching, there was an interpreter preaching in a language called Telugu, which was the Indian language of that part of India. And then he had an interpreter preaching in their language. So I would say something, he would say something, he would say something. And so finally, I said that God became a man and that He died for our sins. And when the third guy said that, this lady in the audience said something. I didn't understand it, of course. And then the chief of the tribe said something. And I didn't know until later on when I asked the interpreter to ask that interpreter what was said. I said, what'd she say? And he said, well, when you said that God died for our sins, she looked at the chief and she said, wait a minute, because they have 300 million gods. She said, wait a minute. We don't have a God that died for our sins. No, first of all, she said, what did he say? And the chief said, God died for our sins. And she said, we don't have a God that died for our sins. And he said, I know, so shut up and listen to him. Well, the whole tribe received Jesus that day as their Savior. Because God is not dead, he's alive. I mean, they were offering pigeons, they were doing all kinds of things to try to get rid of their sin. And yet the Scripture says Jesus offered his blood one time for all time. Sin is remedied. It's taken care of. It's dealt with. And because he rose from the dead, he was able to offer his blood on the mercy seat of heaven one time forever. And if he hadn't done that, we would be miserable. Above all people, we'd be miserable. The Amplified Bible says in verse 17, it says, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is mere delusion. Futile, fruitless, and you are still in your sins under the control and penalty of sin. We're not deluded this morning. Jesus is alive. Man, religion, Christianity, apart from a living relationship with God through Jesus, is a miserable life and filled with bondage. I mean, I'm glad this morning that we're not celebrating Jesus' resurrection through some kind of ceremony, even though that's not terrible, but to have ceremony without Jesus is terrible. And it's miserable, and it's just a bunch of junk. I mean, apart from the resurrection, Christianity is nothing more than another religion. That's all it is. And it's empowered. Religion is empowered by its ceremony, by its ritual, by its rules and regulations. You got to wear your hair a certain way and dress a certain way. Sadly, many Christians fail to capitalize on a relationship with Jesus. They're trapped in a religious experience that they call Christianity, but it's not a daily encounter with him because he's alive. When Jesus was laid in the tomb, Satan and all of his cohorts thought it was over. I'm just thinking, Jesus said, it is finished. And they're going, you're right, buddy, it's finished. We got you right where we want you. You're going to the tomb. They thought they had won. In fact, they were thinking this message of the kingdom would be silenced once and for all. They figured that if they tortured and killed Jesus, then surely all of his followers would be afraid and wouldn't do any more. In fact, we know the disciples, I mean, initially, they considered the cross a defeat. And they went into hiding because the Messiah was dead. And they were afraid until they obtained a revelation of his resurrection. I've read this story many times over the years, but it always works great for Resurrection Sunday. It says, it said on the evening of June 18th, 1815, a man stood in the tower of England's Winchester Cathedral, gazing anxiously out to sea. At last he found what he was looking for, a ship sending a signal by the use of flags. Now, they didn't have Facebook or Twitter in those days. And so they were looking for this ship. He was looking for a flag to come, a signal from the flag. He strained to see the message that would come from the ship. All of England was waiting to hear the signal, to hear what was going on, to know the outcome of a war between the Duke of Wellington and the French dictator Napoleon Bonaparte. Napoleon had once ruled all of Europe except for England, and they fought the famous Battle of Waterloo. And they just finished fighting it, so this guy stood in the castle of Winchester Cathedral, the tower of Winchester Cathedral. He was waiting to see what the signal was from the flag. And just as the flags began to wave and give the signal, a heavy fog rolled in, and it was only he got to see just enough that he saw the signal that he wished he had never seen. The signal read, Wellington defeated. They were all sad. They thought, it's over. Napoleon will come now, and he will take over England. And everyone, and the news spread rapidly, because, you know, bad news spreads very fast. They were all sad. But then all of a sudden, the fog lifted, and they read the message in full. And here's what it said. It said, Wellington defeated the enemy. Now their sadness turned to great joy, and there was great celebration. You see, Good Friday, Jesus defeated. Resurrection morning, Jesus defeated the enemy. And he stood, and the Apostle John saw him, and he said, you know what, I am the guy that was dead, and now I'm alive forevermore. That's who we celebrate this morning. The resurrected, living Jesus Christ. See, there's knowing Him, not just in my head, not just in religion, but truly knowing Him. Aren't you glad you know Him? Not just know about Him, know Him. I ran across a scripture this week just in meditation. And 2 Peter 1:1 says this, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, this is an interesting phrase. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we talked a few weeks ago about precious faith, that faith is precious and what made it precious. But this week I looked at it and I thought of this word, obtained. Obtained. Obtained like precious faith. There's a difference in knowing about something and obtaining it. Religion is knowing about something. I don't want to just know about it. I want to know Him. I'll tell you this. In the Greek word, that word has to do with being determined to receive something. And it's the opposite of someone who obtains something by happenstance or accident. In other words, you don't get to osmosis into the kingdom of God. You're not a Christian because your parents were Christians. You're not a Christian because your name is on the roll of a church. You're not a Christian because somebody else says you are. You can only be a Christian by obtaining citizenship in the kingdom. Choosing it on purpose, having it obtained. In the context, this verse is referring to those who have on purpose received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of their life. Not because they were baptized when they were babies, but because they on purpose have chosen Jesus Christ. See, there are a lot of people who know a lot about Jesus. I mean, they know a lot about Jesus. In fact, there are many people in churches today, they're wearing their new Easter bonnets, and they're going to church because they're supposed to on Easter Sunday. And they don't really know why they're there on Easter Sunday. But that what they understand most of all is that Jesus rose from the dead. Many of them think He saw His shadow. Some of you got that and some of you didn't. Now He rose from the dead and they know that. And so they go to church because they know about it. And they know there's supposed to be eternal life somehow in that. But I wonder if they've obtained it. Here's what the verse did not say. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them who know about precious faith. To them who know how to get precious faith. No, to those who have obtained precious faith. This is something we do on purpose. Listen, it's not enough to know about the Bible or about Jesus. You got to know Jesus. Know God. Obtain this faith. The Bible says in Colossians 2:6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. The same is true of our everyday walk with Jesus. It's obtaining it, choosing what He said, choosing what He wants to do, by faith on purpose. I mean, it's not faith is not me getting God to do what I want Him to do. Faith is me receiving the Word of God to the degree that the Word of God is released through me to get God what He wants. Like Jesus said, go give me the donkey. They had to release the Word. He said, say this if you need to. If they ask you a question, they said what He said. They got the donkey for Jesus. God's word in you is to be released through you to get God what He wants to have. By the way, He wants you to be healed. He wants you to be blessed and prospered. He wants that, but you've got to know that He wants that and not make it religion. All right. So, but we got to not just knowing about it, we've got to, on purpose, obtain the kind of faith that we're supposed to have. And that kind of faith, of course, comes through meditation and revelation. Now, as I said, today is Resurrection Sunday, so we're going to focus a little bit for the next few minutes on the resurrection. I want to obtain the reality of resurrection, not just have some religious indication or idea of what it is. I know a preacher, or used to know a preacher, who on Resurrection Sunday, he would never preach about the resurrection. He would never preach about the birth of Jesus at Christmas time either, because he got those people that came only twice a year, and you know, those are faithful members. They're faithful twice a year. Never miss on Easter and never miss the Sunday closest to Christmas. But he wouldn't preach about the resurrection or Resurrection Sunday. In fact, he made it his habit to preach about tithing. He thought, I only get one shot a year at them, so I might as well give them the tithing message. You can imagine that probably didn't work very well. But anyway, he did that. But so he would preach on tithing. Well, I just think the message of the resurrection is so wonderful. We ought to preach it more than just Resurrection Sunday, but especially on Resurrection Sunday. So we're going to talk about that. Let's look at this passage that's probably familiar to most of you in Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. It says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. That is an awesome story, isn't it? Earthquake, angel, rolling the stone away. His countenance was like lightning. His raiment was white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. I like that. Jesus is alive. In Luke, the angel says, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. The Message Bible says, why are you looking for the living one in a cemetery? A lot of Christians are still looking for a dead Jesus. I've been in churches that seem a little bit like a cemetery. I've been in churches where they say, no, we only want to do things decently and in order. Y'all been to Rest Haven lately? It's decent and it's in order. I want the living Jesus. They came to find dead Jesus. They came prepared to find him dead. When Jesus taps Mary on the shoulder, she thinks he's dead, so she's not looking for a living Jesus. And she thinks he's the gardener. What have you done with him? He goes, Mary. She knew that voice. But you're not going to find a living Jesus in a place of death. He said, why are you doing that? I love the story. Wouldn't you? I hope, this is what I really want. When we get to heaven, I hope we get to see the replay of it. I mean, don't you want to see that? I just want to see the replay of it. I want to see. I want to see when the angel comes down, rolls the stone away, the earthquake comes. I want to see those big, bad Roman soldiers fall on the ground and act like they're dead. It's kind of hard to act like you're dead when you're trembling, but they're falling on the ground, and they're trembling, and they're trying to be dead. Don't you want to see that? I mean, I want to see that. I want to see these ladies' faces when they get there, because in Mark, I think it says, they say, who's going to roll the stone away? I want to see their face when they see the angel. Oh. Oh, that's who's going to roll it away. I want to see that. I want to see what they looked like. I want to see the expression on the disciples' faces when they're sitting in that room and the Bible says they're hiding for fear of the Jews. It says they were eating and they were weeping is what it says. That's like full funeral mode right there. All right? At a funeral, that's what you do. You eat and you weep. I mean, they're in the full funeral mode. They're eating and they're weeping. And I would love to see the video of Jesus walking through the wall. and saying, "Peace." Can you? They've probably already seen it. They're already up in heaven going, look at you, Philip. Your mouth is wide open, buddy. And Philip's going, "Yeah, what about you, Thomas? Look at you." Well, he wasn't there that day. "What about you, Peter?" I want to see it. I want to see what it looked like. I mean, this is the greatest day in the history of the human race when Jesus rose from the dead. I mean, this is a big deal. To me, the Resurrection Sunday is the greatest holiday in the church. We make a lot about Christmas because we get presents. And we make a lot about Easter because we get eggs. Never figured that one out. In my whole life, I've not figured that one out. Why we got eggs. I mean, I understand it's because of the Druidish celebration, and eggs represents life, and that's spring, and that Easter really has nothing to do with Christianity. Fun. We like to try to say Resurrection Sunday instead of Easter Sunday. But this is the big day. This is the reason that we have Christianity, because Jesus is alive. That's why we're here this morning. See, and so we ask this question. I'm going to ask this question this morning. Why did Jesus come back from the grave? What is the purpose of his resurrection? Now, the answer is pretty obvious, it looks like, but I want to look beyond the obvious and look a little deeper into that. I mean, the supernatural power that raised Jesus from the dead should be working in our lives right now as we live this life. So let's look at this. So what was the purpose of the resurrection? Number one, we know the reason for the resurrection was to bring Jesus back to life, right? That's why. That's the purpose of the resurrection. We read from 1 Corinthians that if he wasn't raised from the dead, we'd all still be dead in our sins. All right, we know that by virtue of the resurrection, Jesus came back from the dead. He took the keys of hell and of death, and he now lives forevermore, right? We know that. He is now the one. All right, we know today, right this minute, that Jesus is seated at the Father's right hand, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. And we understand he's already defeated the enemy, but the wait here is for the church to exercise its authority and bring the renegades under dominion. All right, that's what he's waiting for. He's waiting for that to happen. Resurrection meant that though Jesus was dead for 3 days, he was brought back to life. And here's what I want you to hear to begin with. He was brought back to life, but not life as it was, but life that is superior to what it was. Okay, that's what the resurrection is about. It's not about just being alive. It's about coming back to life in a superior manner. I mean, Jesus, man, he now can walk through walls. He will never die again. It's a different life. It's a superior life, and that's what the resurrection is about. The purpose of the resurrection is life, but not just life as it was. The purpose of resurrection is a superior life to what we've ever known before. That's what resurrection is about. Jesus said in John 11, you know this verse 25, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." He said, "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever believeth, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And he said, "Believest thou this?" Resurrection connects us with life. We've talked about in previous studies that both the Hebrew and the Greek words for life speak of connection to God, speak of a connection that transcend the physical world in which we live, that allows us to connect to God in the spirit realm, on a spirit level, being able to connect to Him. So resurrection connects us to life. Life is connection. Death is separation. So Jesus said, "I am the connection to God." He said in John 14, 6, the next chapter, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." The resurrection is essential because the only way to connect with the Father is through Jesus Christ. And if he didn't come back to life, we have no connection. He's the only way to connect to God. Okay, so we can see the purpose was so that Jesus could be brought to life, but not only that, so that we could share in this life, this connection to God. This is exciting to me because the connection that we make to God gives us life that is superior to the life of those who don't know Him. Christians ought to be living a superior life because of the resurrection. Now, I'm not saying that to put anybody down. I'm just saying that, okay, maybe I'm not getting all I'm supposed to get. Maybe I need to take a step up in this thing because Jesus is calling us something better. Let's read this. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Look what this says. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Now, here this is referring to us being baptized in Christ. This isn't talking about being baptized in water. This is talking about the day that I made Jesus the Lord of my life. Now, all of a sudden, when I came into Jesus, I now should be able to receive the resurrected life of Jesus. Because He was resurrected, because I'm baptized in Him, now I have gained access to the power of His resurrection. That's why the resurrected life is superior, because it's the power of His. See, our lives should demonstrate His power over sin, over hell, over Satan, and over death. Our life should be a picture of all of those things. In Philippians, the Apostle Paul said this in verse chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. He said, I want to know that. In the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, by meaning that I die to myself, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. He said, I want to know Him to the degree that my life is being overwhelmed with the power of His resurrection, so that as I live my life, I have power over sin, over hell, over Satan, over death itself. I'm not afraid of those things because I live a superior life. See, he's talking about being resurrected from the grave eventually, but he's referring to live in the power of His resurrection. Continually. See, that's what the resurrection does. It connects me to life. Connects me to God. I can live there. He's talking about we can be like Jesus. We can believe that God will raise us from our death, whether that death is financial, relational, whatever it may be. He raises us from our death to life that is superior to what we've had before. Ooh, that's pretty good, I'm thinking. That means I don't focus on the loss, I focus on the gain. Life has changed because I've connected to Him. We have it backwards. We have this idea that here's the order, life, then death, right? You know, two things are certain, death and taxes. Right? Okay. We think the order is that death is the inevitable end. That's it. Death is the end. Well, let me just read you this. Jesus said in John 12, verse 24, verily, verily, I say to you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Jesus just gave us a different order. The purpose of life isn't death. The purpose of death is life. We've got it backwards here. Death is the prerequisite to resurrection. The only way to connect with resurrection life, the life that is connected to God, that is superior to this life, is that we have to die to ourselves. We die to the old man, die to the old ways. We can have life. The purpose of dying to self is resurrection to a higher power of life. Woohoo, that's pretty good. If God says, don't do it, it's not because God is mad at me, it's because God knows there's a better life. Man, the purpose of physical death is resurrection to a life that is beyond anything that we can know here. See, death is the enemy, but death is the channel that we go through to get to the life. Resurrection is important for us. Death is separation. Death separates us from the limitation that we're held back by here, and from that we can move to life. Ooh, I like that. So the purpose of the resurrection is connection to God, connection to His purpose. Let me read you this, and I think Chris already quoted it. Romans 8:11 says, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." Now from that verse we can see that it was the power of the Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. The purpose of resurrection is life. The power of resurrection is the Holy Ghost. He is the power of the resurrection. I mean, He indwells us. See, He came, and He was the one who raised Jesus from the dead. It was as Jesus released His will to the Father in the garden, gave Himself to die on the cross, it was in this process of surrender, and by faith Jesus became sin for all mankind. It was in that process that the awesome power of the Holy Spirit was released on His behalf to bring Him resurrection. The same thing works for you and me. As we surrender to God, as we believe what He has said, and we die to ourselves, the Holy Spirit's power is released. God's grace or His favor comes through that release of the Spirit, and we then have resurrection in whatever the circumstance we're in. But we have to die to it. We have to die to ourselves. Jesus came and did all that He did on earth as a man. He said in John chapter 5, verse 27, He said God gave Him authority because He was the Son of Man. Now let me read you something. This is Ephesians. I'm going to read a long passage here, and then I'm going to shorten it to show you something here. Ephesians 1, verse 17 says this, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling," all right, "that you may know what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. And you," verse 1 of the next chapter, "hath He quickened who were dead in their trespasses and sins." Now let me read you this. Here's what the Apostle Paul is actually saying, just so you'll know. He said, "I want you to know some things. Here's among the things I want you to know is, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according," in other words, in the same way, the same power, "according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead." Now, grammatically speaking, everything after that phrase to beginning of verse 1 are actually just it's inserted in there, and it describes this raising of this power that raised from the dead. What's connected to this power from the dead is verse 1 of the next chapter. The little phrase, "hath He quickened," is in italics, so it's not in the original Greek language. Let me read to you this way. And we're supposed to know what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working, just like the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised from the dead, and you. He said this power, this resurrection power, was sent to Jesus. We're supposed to know this, that this resurrection power was sent to Jesus when it raised Him from the dead, and you, who were dead in trespasses and sins. The power that raised Jesus from the dead, the resurrection power of Jesus, because He died to Himself, He gave Himself to God, believed the Word, that same resurrection power is ours so that we can live in a new life. Live in a different life. See, we need to respond to this power of the Holy Spirit. The church ought to be filled with this resurrection power. It's interesting. Jesus, during the 40 days while he was with the apostles before he ascended to heaven, it says that he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. In other words, he showed himself alive. There were proofs that came to show himself alive. The Bible says of the apostles, it said that they gave great power, with great power, they gave witness of the resurrection of Jesus. But then, they're not the only ones. We saw Stephen operating in that great power. We saw a certain disciple named Ananias healing the future apostle Paul of blindness. God doesn't intend just for the apostles, but our job, because we have been raised to a new life, our lives ought to demonstrate everywhere we go that Jesus is alive today. He's alive. He's the one who's alive. We need to do that as a church, as individuals. We need to be praying and saying, God, how do we demonstrate that Jesus is alive? What do we do to demonstrate he's alive? I mean, we need to find a way to make sure that our lives demonstrate the living Jesus. Here's what I want to see. Here's where I want to get to most of all. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Jesus is the resurrection. The purpose of resurrection is connecting to God. The power of the resurrection is the Holy Spirit. The person of the resurrection is Jesus Christ. He is the reason. He is what it's all about. The manifestation of resurrection power will only come through those who are vitally connected to him. Powerless Christians are powerless because of a lack of connection to Jesus. That's where it's all going to come from. See, I'm referring to an intimate connection that avails itself to him. I'm talking about dying to me, connecting to him, and allowing him to live through me. If I want the power of the resurrection to flow to and through me, I've got to be vitally connected to Jesus Christ. Not just knowing about him, obtaining him in my daily life. We must become people who have the proper priority. The person of the resurrection is more important than the power of the resurrection. And if I obtain the person, the power will naturally flow through me. Now, I do not believe we get to choose either or. I believe we choose one and the other. But the order is choosing Jesus and then the power. It's time for the church to fall in love with Jesus Christ once again. That Jesus becomes everything to us. Jesus in the morning. Jesus at the noontime. Jesus when the sun goes down. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Because if Jesus is my priority, the power will follow it wherever I go. We need to fall in love once again with him. He is the person. He said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. The Holy Spirit is the power of that resurrection. But if I get Jesus, I'm going to get the power of the resurrection. I'm going to obey him in everything else that I do. I'm going to follow him. He is the resurrection. You see, we want the power, but we got to get the person, because the power will follow him. Jesus said in John 15:5, for without me, you can do nothing. Listen, without Jesus, it's all for naught. I want miracles, don't you? I want miracles to be everywhere, but I got to get him. If I get him, I can be at Walmart and the Holy Spirit can then speak to me and say, that guy over there, go talk to him. Yes, sir. I can die, because that's hard. You got to die to yourself to do that one. Hey, how you doing? He's going, what do you want? The Lord told me to come over here. Then whatever happens, happens. I've told this before. We have a friend who's a pastor of a church in Amarillo. One day, he walked into church's fried chicken after church service. He and his wife, they walk in, and he's just mouthing off, and he says, "I'm the Holy Ghost man," as he walks in. He orders his chicken, sits down at his table. This lady came over to his table and said, "Are you the Holy Ghost man?" He said, "Yeah, I am." She said, "My baby's sick. Will you pray for her?" I mean, God just healed the baby while they were sitting there. The next person saw that, and they said, "Excuse me, you're the Holy Ghost man? Can you pray for me for that?" And this guy had a prayer line at church's fried chicken, all because he availed himself to the person of Jesus. And he allowed Jesus to flow through him, because that's how the Spirit is going to operate in our lives. As we love Jesus, as we fall in love with him. So we've got to become intimate with Jesus. You see, because it's through Jesus we have the life, we have the connection with God, we have the channel that the Holy Spirit can come to us through. It's through Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians, we read the last verse of what I'm getting ready to read to you before, but he said this, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ." He said, "I'm telling you guys, I had all of it, everything in the natural. I had it, money, fame, education, everything." He said, "But that is worthless to me, that I might win Christ, that I might know Him." It says, "And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection." The power of resurrection comes through knowing Him. Listen, apart from Jesus, the miracles are worthless. You can get healed, delivered, but if you don't know Jesus, He's the prize. He's everything. See, I mean, He's the reason we come together. "Oh, I'm going to go today so I can get a heavy revy from the preacher." No, we need to get a revelation of Jesus from Jesus. Get hold of Him. Find out who He is. You see, He's the reason. When the people gathered around Jesus looking for a miracle, remember that? The whole group came looking for bread and stuff. And Jesus said, "I'll tell you what. Eat my body. Drink my blood." What was He talking about? He's talking about intimacy. He's talking about, "I want you to get closer to me than just for the miracle." And they said, "That's gross. We're leaving. We don't want that." Jesus wanted intimacy. He wants to know us. He is the resurrection. The day of our celebration is about Him, knowing Him. I want you right now just to close your eyes for a moment. I want you to see yourself in Him. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you rose from the dead. I thank you, Lord, that this isn't about religion, it's about you. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're real, you're prepared to move, you're prepared to do those things, but you yourself only do what Jesus leads you to do. And everything you do exalts Him. And so today, Lord, we want this to be about Jesus. Just thank Him for being alive. Thank Him for a life that is beyond what you know. A life that is beyond the life of the world. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for life. I thank you this morning for life. Father, we rejoice in the resurrection. We rejoice in the purpose, the power, the person of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We thank you for it today, God, in Jesus' name.